Today on Real Radio.
He's a soldier now of the cross. He has aligned himself against the kingdom of darkness. And because of that, God calls us to a great battle, to a great warfare. But we see people making commitments to causes that will fade away. It's not so with our Christianity. And so in verse 4, Paul says, no one who's truly a believer engages in warfare and which goes about entangle himself in the cares or the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted this soldier. You're a GI for Jesus. A government issue? No, not anymore. A God issue. There's GI Joe. There's GI Jack. There's GI Lucy and Karen and Chuck and whoever. We are GIs, government issues. No, God issues. God has enlisted us into this great war. He's the one that's called us.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul uses military and agricultural analogies to explain aspects of our commitment to the Messiah and the work he has entrusted to us. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called The Disciplined Soldier.
Why don't you turn in your Bibles right now to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we continue our study in this pastoral epistle written by the great Apostle Paul, who really the Holy Spirit used like none other in all of the New Testament writings. In fact, Peter, in his writings, says, as we study Paul, who God ordained to be a minister to the Gentiles, who wrote letters that are hard to be understood, Peter said. And that's encouraging to me. Here's Peter, the great apostle, also saying concerning Paul's writings, man, that guy's written some stuff that I got to really meditate on. It's deep. And we certainly have experienced that coming through this great epistle that Paul wrote to Timothy, a young pastor, and I rejoice in that. Timothy was about 35 years old. I can certainly relate to that. And being a young pastor in the ministry time-wise, in the way of experience, this book has been a life-changing experience for me, but in ways that I didn't think. This book has called me, I think, to a deeper commitment. It has caused me to lay my heart more open before the Lord, and it has been very painful to see some of the things in my own life that I've had to take to the cross. And I know also that in this room, because of what God is doing in this church, there are pastors sitting here to be. There are assistant pastors here to be. There are women leaders and missionaries in this church right now. And you may not have heard your call yet, but you will, I'm certain. And God will move you out from this place in the future to continue the work that God would have you to do in your life for the kingdom of God. And this book, Timothy, will help us all carry out the very plan of our great God and Savior. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, we pick up where we left off last week. In verse 4, he says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, yet he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Paul is talking and continuing in his message to the Christian soldier that all of us are. You know, onward Christian soldier, as the song goes. We are. And some of us don't feel like we're really in the battle, but we are. Some of us are kind of wandering back near the shoreline after being deployed by the invading ships, but we haven't advanced to the zone of battle, and you will. And some of you this morning are so out of gas spiritually and drained by the world that you're fearful to even enter the battle. And yet God's grace, as we've been studying, is sufficient for all of these things. Now, I am absolutely amazed as we begin to meditate on these things about the Christian soldier in this fight of faith. I began to look and meditate upon the earthly realm. I saw the other night this documentary on Desert Storm. And these men with American flags, with the insignias of America, with great belief and great faith, rushing into battle. This tremendous armada on the ocean and then hitting the beaches and advancing towards Baghdad. And all of these men, valiant. None of them were standing there going, oh, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And their guys are dragging them along. Man, these guys were just going for it. And I understand the macho element and all that stuff. But you got to hand it to these guys. I mean, they're going for it. And they're committed. And it made me think, you know, when we send soldiers out to war, we don't realize that behind this man standing in this polka dot outfit that's camouflaged, behind this guy is billions of dollars worth of technology, state-of-the-art warfare. There are masses of people back home processing computers, or using computers to process data and make sure coordinates are right for one man. There's a great, great involvement for many people just to keep one man in the battle. And so behind the scenes, there's tremendous support taking place as this one warrior engages in combat. But people, we are waging a war of Christianity versus the gates of hell. Jesus has promised that the gates of hell would not prevail. And yet we are fighting for a war that we are already, according to the Bible, victors. And it blows my mind. But the grace will enable us to be in this warfare. Grace enables us, as we saw last time in verse 2, to be teachers. It's grace that enables us to be soldiers. We'll see as athletes, farmers, workers, even vessels of use. It is God's grace that gets us along in this great warfare. Last week, I had mentioned the word commitment. And I read this, if we teach commitment as the Bible teaches it, then we will have a church of committed people, faithful soldiers of the cross. Jesus himself said, you are either for me or against me. You cannot be on middle ground. And last week, I mentioned that word commitment again, I guess. And a man who had been sitting here for a while left the service and later on that day, I came home from second service, and in my driveway was parked his vehicle. And he had told me, and to be honest with you, I was getting out, and I was coming down the street, and he looked, I thought he was going to tear my head off. He was standing there, and he looked upset. And I said, hey, how are you? And he goes, do you know who I am? I said, yeah, I know who you are. And he said, you know, I was coming over here to tell you that I don't want you to, you know, lay any trip on me. I'm going to make that commitment when I'm good and ready. And I'm coming over here to tell you that I'll make that commitment when I want to make that commitment. So in other words, kind of get off my back, you know? And on the way over, he said to my house, he said, God began to speak to him and said, go to Jack's house, but it's time for you to make that commitment. And what he came over to put upon me, God turned around and put right upon him. And we sat underneath, like Nathaniel, underneath a tree in my front yard. And we prayed as the Holy Spirit came inside of his life and he became born again. And it blew my mind, and it blew his mind, because he's going, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm doing this. I used to just put down Jesus freaks. And I said, well, you're one now. And he said, man, I've never felt so free. I feel so good. And he kept saying that over and over again. And certainly, there's battles for his new commitment. There's battles for our old commitment. He's a soldier now of the cross. He has aligned himself against the kingdom of darkness. And because of that, God calls us to a great battle, to a great warfare. But we see people making commitments to causes that will fade away. It's not so with our Christianity. And so in verse 4, Paul says, no one who's truly a believer engages in warfare in which goes about entangle himself in the cares or the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has enlisted this soldier. You're a GI for Jesus. A government issue? No, not anymore. A God issue. There's GI Joe. There's GI Jack. There's GI Lucy and Karen and Chuck and whoever. We are GIs, government issues. No, God issues. God has enlisted us into this great war. He's the one that's called us. And people, this morning, if you've been fighting the Christian fight and you're out of gas and you have no grace to back up your walk, you've been out there shooting at the enemy every so often, you know, you kind of peek your head out of the foxhole and go bang, bang, and tuck down for a couple years and come back up and throw a tomato at the enemy. And you're hanging there, you know, and you've been kind of just doing your best, but you say, forget this Christian stuff. It's too hard. Look, nobody goes to war with their handmade, make-believe, what do you call it? Uniform on. There's a nation that stands behind you, a royal priesthood, a kingly providence of God. Jesus has called you to war. You're not alone. And if you're out of gas, then you're fighting in your own strength this morning. Oh, Jack, I'm glad to hear this. I'm having a hard time with a drinking fountain at work. This guy's flirting with me. I don't know how to handle it. This girl's winking at me. What do I do, Jack? Listen, you're engaged in a warfare. No one engaged in this Christian fight entangles himself with the cares of this life. And a lot of Christians pull into port, or what looks like a port, and they jump ship. They go AWOL. AWOL is absent without leave, or away from the will of the Lord, or something, I don't know. They jump ship, and they begin to entangle themselves in the cares of this life. They walked with Christ, they knew Jesus, they had a great walk with the Lord. But you know what happens? The ship comes by a shoreline, and they jump ship, and they go, and what do? They do what a lot of soldiers do, what a lot of soldiers have always done. They go to some cantina. And then the soldiers come back to the ship, and they're diseased now. And they get these things that destroy them. There are Christians today jumping ship for divorce. They're going AWOL from Christianity. And God loves them, and we love them. But God hates the sin that they're involved in. And what are we to do as fellow warriors? We're to call them back. We're to herald the trumpet blast. Come on, man. Stop your backslidings. Come on back. And the sad thing is, there's a woman in this fellowship that's not able to attend anymore. She listens to every tape. She lies in her bed. Her husband had a fling. he got AIDS. She didn't know about it. And now both her and her husband are dying together. And we give them tapes and we contact them, and it's a horrible thing. Why? Because somebody jumped ship. Somebody entangled themselves in the cares of this life. Paul the Apostle tells us, flee youthful lust. Get out of those things, man. It's going to kill you. The Bible says sin is an absolute blast and fun for a season. And I find it interesting that the Bible says sin's fun for a season. To me, season is a key word for growth in the way of crops and produce. Oh yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun for a little while, but your crop is going to come up. In due time, what you plant will come up. And so he encourages us not to get involved in the cares of this life. You know, grace will keep us from getting involved, people. It's the grace of God. Jonathan Edwards, the great American preacher, probably none like him in the history of America, said, grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. Grace starts our Christian walk. Several people last week gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. Some people, I heard a comment, oh man, I hope they hang in there. Don't you hope they hang in there? Hey man, yeah, sure. Grace is going to see to it they hang in there. God's grace is going to take them along. Grace is there when we start our walk. Grace will perfect us. We don't have to sit there and go, oh, now I'm a Christian. Okay, here I go. I'm going to get holy. We look out in our backyard. We've got an orange tree, we got a peach tree, and we got an apple tree. And every spring, do I put my ear out in the backyard and hear that apple tree? Out comes a leaf. And then the peach tree goes, no. It's coming naturally. Why? As the sun of righteousness comes up and shines upon us, our leaves come out. And then when a leaf is there, it's something that the blossom can hang on to. The blossom begins to form and not only put a beautiful fragrance in the air, which you are, as that fragrance begins to mature, it comes to the point from the sun shining and the deep roots going into the Word of God, a little bump begins to appear, and it's fuzzy, and it's hard, and it doesn't look like much outside of grace and outside of hope. And I walk by and I look at that little thing of fruit and I go, oh man, you're going to come along. I can see that. And I go out there and prune a couple of peaches or apples off that one twig. Why? So these other two can grow plump and beautiful. And I prune that tree so the fruit can be more beautiful and more right on. And the same thing's true in our life. Some of us are little fruits. Some of us are nuts, but some of us are fruits. California, the land of nuts and fruits, or fruits and nuts, you know. But you know, when you look at it with hope and in grace, it's okay if it's hard. It's okay. It's okay if it's green. It's going to turn a beautiful color soon. It's going to turn a beautiful taste soon. And that's like us. But we must be careful not to entangle ourselves in the cares of this life and derail God's work. So now he goes on to verse 5, and he says, and also, not only that, but this too, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, this word compete is public event. That's what it means. Compete in a public manner. And by the way, this is where we get the word. And Paul, knowing, because the Olympic Games were in effect in Paul's day. It's awesome to realize that the terminology Paul's using stands for Olympiad, the Olympics. Paul says nobody engaged in warfare gets himself entangled in this life. Yes, and also, if anyone, do you hear the exclusivity of that? If, are you engaged? in warfare? This morning, as we prayed Wednesday night, asking the Lord to take Pam home, to deliver her from this body of sin and death cancer. God, this morning, in the moments of this Sunday, the Lord's Day morning, took her to glory. She's free. She had battled and battled not only sin in this world like we are, but if anyone's going to compete, he's got to compete according to the rules. The rules are she hung in there until Jesus called her home. She fought. Biologically, she fought. The body wouldn't quit until it couldn't go anymore. And Jesus, in a moment, opens up a curtain, and it's just, she's gone. And I don't know, maybe I'm a little morbid, I don't think so. But when a saint passes from this place into glory, and you're standing alongside the bed, I didn't have this opportunity this time to do that, to be there. But there's something so awesome. When a person weighs anchor and goes into glory, the bummer is we've been left behind. Now this is theologically deep, so hang on. This week we had ants in our kids' bedrooms. And it looked like a freeway. You ever see them going along the wall? And I had this thought, this is terrible. And I thought, these guys, we're going to go get the vacuum cleaner and suck them up. In a moment that you think not, the vacuum will come. They did not know the day or the hour. They were doing their thing. They were engaged in stealing candy from the dresser. And what happened was, we powered up that Hoover, and I just went, whoosh. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, these guys were sucked up, and they were gone. And their friends that are running back to the corner, they don't know what's happening. There's confusion. Look at the line. Now that it's all breaking out into an open course for these ants to run. And you know what? God opened up the curtain and went, you're with me now. You're mine. And it's awesome. We are competing according to the rules. The rules are we fight. And we stay in the Word, and we pray, and we fellowship, and we engage in things that are godly. Why? The day's coming. It may be at the intersection out here, or it may be by the blasting of the trump of God, and we'll be caught up into glory. It could be via cancer. That's God's business. But we stand as soldiers competing according to the rules.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Disciplined Soldier, and we'll continue with more of this mini-series on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.